And with that, let's jump straight into our feature. And it is a visit with the Albuquerque Roots Trio, Lone Pinon. They came back to us just recently on the 13th of this month to join us in Studio A, a long wished for reuniting of this band with our studios, but especially with the cozy confines of the Good Room and Roman Garcia behind the controls. So we'll have a bunch of conversation, but let's jump right into it right now with the ensemble. Noah Martinez on upright bass, guitarron, and vocals. Jordan Wax on vocals, violin, and accordion. And Greg Glassman on guitar and vocals. This is Lone Pinon right now on Ear to the Ground.
Okay, this one's a polka from the Pecos area, and I heard it on a recording my friend Tomas gave me of a fiddler named Pete Sena. It's in G. This tune is called El Nopilche. It's a son from Tierra Caliente, from the repertoire of the great virtuoso fiddler Juan Reynoso from down there in Michoacán and Guerrero. And this one's called El Nopilche, like I said, which is a little poisonous lizard. Thank you. This is a huapango azteco called El Huerfanito, which we learned from a huapango fiddler in Chicago named Juan Rivera.
Taking a break from this long overdue voluptuous performance by Lone Pignon to meet the musicians. Greg Glassman, you've been hearing him on guitar and vocals, Jordan Wax on violin, vocals, and newly minted the accordion. and Noa Martinez on the guitarrón, but mostly on the upright bass and with some vocals tonight, which is new for
me. If you'd call them that.
Yeah, I know. Trio Norteamericano was the debut record, and that was about a year and a half ago, I think, when it came out. And we had a chance to bring you into a room that is not very forgiving, and you still nailed it. And I remember listening to your performance from Studio C back then and going, no other style of music could get away with being so raw and raucous and bouncing off the walls. And it was all true, but it is just a delight to hear you coming out of Studio A this time, where everything is much warmer and much more under control. And, you know, the sound I think you deserve. Now, when we were here a year and a half ago, I remember you all talked some about how you came to this music, and you all came to these various traditions which run from New Mexico continually south, further and further south into Mexico. And you all had your own journeys into them. But I remember when we left the interview, the last point that you made was that first album was just like a little footprint, and you were feeling like you could really expand tremendously from there. Pick up with where you left off a year and a half ago, because I seem to be hearing it. And I'm not sure what I'm hearing, but I'm hearing something very, very different in this new record.
From last year. Yeah. I still owe Greg $40 from last year. I don't know. What do you
plus
think?
Interest, man.
What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I think that is exactly the case. I think thanks for reminding us that we said that.
Yeah.
We definitely have continued to expand, and it still feels like that everything's right there, and we can just keep moving in a lot of different directions. As much time as we have to rehearse and play, there's a lot of open doors and the kind of stuff we can do with these musicians and these instruments.
Are you, what about where these songs are coming from? Because, I mean, even the way you're introducing them, I mean, it sounds like there's a whole familia of musicians that you're in touch with now. Maybe not personally, because some of them aren't here anymore, but how does that happen? Is that just from travel?
Yeah, travel and following the strands that we start picking up and getting into music, and also meeting people as we've played. I think that's been a wonderful and incredible privilege for meeting musicians, that we can go around as musicians, as a band, and we have these songs that we kind of, they're like a business card. That,
yeah.
And that's enabled us to connect. Whenever we go anywhere, it seems like that helps us connect right away with the people who that resonates with, and that can be really fruitful.
So are people hearing you perform and then coming up to you afterwards and saying, do you know this song? Or this song?
Or during, yeah.
Or during, yeah.
They're telling us to play those songs.
Yeah, they're requesting them. Sometimes we can pull them off, sometimes we can't. But
when it comes time for you to get those songs, are you getting them on recording, or are you learning like in the folk form, like, okay, you play it for me and now I'll play it back to you? What's that process like?
Sometimes that happens, but mainly it's connecting through recordings, and you know, that is so accessible these days that even if you have a friend you're playing with, you can make a great recording of them and take that home and then pay a lot closer attention or slice it up and do surgery on the file and slow it down and investigate the cellular structure of their phrasing.
Yeah.
And you can bootleg it in Russia.
Cool. Put it on YouTube.
But these songs are your treatments of these songs. I mean, this is not slavish devotion to traditional style, right? It's always been something a little different with how you approach it.
I think our style is we're trying, like we're learning as we go. We're trying to learn a lot of new material, and it's this perpetual space that we live in, which is really challenging, but also kind of a real gift of doing what we're doing, where because of the rate of new material and how challenging, at least for myself, but I think for all of us, learning it and trying to understand really the feels of each particular thing, and also just to execute more consistently, the whole thing is just, from the beginning, it's been that way.
But and you've also expanded instrumentation. I don't remember, Noah, you putting down the guitar on at all the last time you were here, and now you're playing the upright.
Yeah,
he was all orgulloso. He's never going to put down the guitar on. He's never going
to
play bass.
I had to put it in. I had to put in a lot of time till the mariachi guys would, like, they wouldn't give me a whole traje, but they gave me one of the little conch things, you know, the little shells. And so that then I started playing upright. No, I've always played upright too. We kind of started incorporating it more when we started doing the accordion, because a lot of the stuff that we're, that repertoire, like the South Texas stuff, a lot of that it's with upright. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, we started putting it back in. I stopped being so lazy. We stopped doing it because I got tired of carrying them both around. But
but you bulked up now.
I bulked up, man. I started taking some tofu shakes and stuff like that, and now I'm in prime form. So.
In the travels that you're doing, both in the States and in Mexico, you know, sometimes I hear from jazz musicians who say, I'm the youngest person in the room and I'm the person on stage. Something's not right here. What do you see of the next generation in these various places that you go to? Or do you feel like you're the youngest people in the room?
Around here, we're definitely the youngest people in the room. But that doesn't mean that there's some young guy sitting in their room right now gearing up, getting ready. I believe in that.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's something to come to think. Another place we've had the privilege of playing is the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. And there's a community in Fayetteville, Arkansas that's really cool to see how there, in particular, one fiddler named Pete Howard, who is a great resource and plays the traditional Ozark regional style.
And Jordan Wax, your violin training includes some of that, right?
That's right, yeah. I grew up in Missouri, and that was my introduction to traditional music, was working with Ozark fiddle master Fred Stone King, who lived in Springfield, Missouri at the time. And so it was through him that I came across Pete, because Pete had also studied with Fred Stone and really appreciated his music and was really encouraging to my work. And it was really cool to see, since I had been gone, how many young musicians had gotten into the tradition just because of that one person who had a clear vision and really had their heart in it and really cared about the music. And I remember at one point, you know, it seemed like the communities changed, you know, people moved away and there weren't that many people doing it. And then it was amazing to come back. We played at a concert and also... they kind of turned into a square dance, and there were tons of dancers who knew the regional style of dancing, people who knew the regional style of calling, people playing the, you know, regional fiddle tunes that go with it. And it was amazing to see, wow, just from, you know, one person who was the youngest person in the room, then there were 30 people, you know, and in the period of a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know?
And these guys, they're younger than us. I mean, they're in their early 20s, you know. They were like, I mean, one guy was like asking his girlfriend to buy him some beer and stuff. I mean, it's like they're young kids, you know, they're not kids, but very young people to be knowing that steeped into it. Yeah. I was really impressed, man, by all those musicians, and they were cool.
Yeah.
And they're very open-minded as well. Greg Sherman told us about a San Antonio fiddler, mm-hmm. and we got into, and it's like, wow, it's, so it, they're, yeah, we're not the only ones. We might be some of the few that are doing it here that are, like I said, there's probably 20 bands right now out there that are practicing and getting their stuff ready. You know, we do it here, but all over the country, and there's that same little scenes are happening everywhere. So
festivals in the United States are not out of the question at some point.
No, we've gone all the way as far as Bellingham, Washington. Uh-huh. And went and played polkas out there, and brought a guitar on and freaked everyone out.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to touch it. They wanted to touch it. See if it was real.
Yeah, it was cool. And I mean, and out there too was a really rich scene of musicians that were just playing, and we met that Ohio fiddler. Remember him? So there was a different. I mean, just cool, man. They're younger people. They're not. It's very user friendly for young people, but also the older musicians are there, and it's a lot of respect for that
right.
student teacher thing.
No.
This next tune is entitled Margarita, and the version we got it from is from the stuff out of San Antonio, the Brown Sound, the Onda Chicana, and it is also in G.
Las hojas en el árbol no darán toda la vida. Desde aquí te estoy mirando, sentadita en tu ventana, qué bonitos ojos tienen, lucero de la mañana. Ay, qué lástima, qué lástima, qué lástima me da de ver a Margarita que llorando está. Ay, qué lástima, qué lástima, qué lástima me da de ver a Margarita que llorando está.
This next tune is another Onda Chicana tune that we got from the repertoire of Little Joe and the Latinaires before La Familia. This goes out to Fermin Lopez. It's entitled Borrachera.
Borrachera,
borrachera.
You've been listening to Lon Piñon in performance, recorded live in Studio A by Roman Garcia on the 13th of this month. Greg Glassman, guitar and vocals, Jordan Wax, vocals, violin, accordion, Noah Martinez, guitarón, and upright bass. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Route 66 coming up almost immediately. Quiero el copo.